Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron Radio, with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian today is Dave Lockhart.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to all our listeners out there, Planet Gridiron. Happy
Planet
Friday
Gridiron.
To you. Happy
football, Friday to football, you. Football.
All things sports, usually football, but we got a lot on the agenda. I think you would agree. How about that, Roland? Road Dog?
Road Dog, you got that. But you know what? I'm kind of starving for some football news, some NFL news, you know?
Yeah.
It's this time of year, we're into football. We're thinking about who's going where, the trades, and we got the picks, and who, how they're matching up. You know, next month is when they're supposed to go to camp, and we don't have any football.
Well, right. It's quiet as a church mouse, at least when we're talking about on the professional levels, but we're going to get to a little bit of college football. But let's briefly talk about the current state of the NFL, which is nothing. Apparently, there have been some covert meetings, though, that have been going on between the owner brass.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, the owner brass and the players. They look like they are making some progress, and apparently they're some people who saw them, them being the owners and the players.
Well, they're not making enough progress. You know, I think you play football, you own the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go out there and you play. You don't negotiate with me. You go play. You don't want to play? Fine. I'll find somebody else.
Right. And in the realm of the real world, that's exactly the way it would play out. But this is not the real world when you're talking about professional sports.
Because there's unions.
Because generally there's unions, and then you have the antitrust situations, which, I granted, although an attorney, not necessarily a labor attorney and not versed in that. But we do know that there's potential impact when it comes to the labor agreements when you have antitrust involved.
You know what? There are no impacts nowhere. What it is a win. Fall for lawyers, period. For the suits. It's a payday for the suits, and that's all that's going on.
Well, right now, that's not what's going on, because there are no lawyers that are meeting right now. No, apparently that's meeting.
Somebody's getting billed, I guarantee you.
Well, the money had been already set aside. The money, trust me, is earned. The lawyers are not returning any of the funds, put it that way. It's going to be earned.
They'll bill it to to the end.
Yeah, to the very end, it'll be held in some form of trust account. And every time they meditate, crack a walnut
hey, check
up on the tree.
This lawyer dies and he goes to heaven, right? And St. Peter says, okay, right here, you're 75 years old. Wait, whoa, I'm not 75 years old. He goes, well, judging by your timesheets.
No, that's right. I usually can bill an 11-hour day. It's an amazing what a pen and a .1 can do to you. Okay, but you know, there seems to be some suggestions that progress is being made, and that it potentially there could be some resolution with a deal and a new CBA coming about real soon.
Well, they need to get something done, because this is killing me as a fan. I'm not losing faith in the NFL as far as, I'm not going to watch football again.
Right.
But it's just, I want football.
I agree.
Do a sports show, we need football.
Definitely. And you need it beginning about mid to late summer all the way into the new year. We need it.
Maybe in a couple of days we're going to need it, because there ain't going to be nothing to talk about. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're flipping the script and going to the NBA then. And I got to admit, I am, for lack of a better word, feeling you. Because what I'm seeing with respect to what the Heat are doing, it's conceivable that this can be over, in a couple of days?
Yeah, in a couple of days. So here on the show, we got to hedge our bets. So we got a soccer coach calling in. We're going to interview Janine Hashim, a high school soccer coach. We're going to interview here at past the hour, because we got to learn about soccer now.
Well, we don't need to learn. You got me, man. Yeah. I played from the ages of 7 to 18.
Oh, yeah, you soccer dude. So you soccer man.
I actually love the game of soccer in terms of what it did for me in my development. And my children play.
And your feet and all that, and coordination
absolutely.
And stuff like that. Yeah, we're going to get F you. Did you see that clip where the guy, the goalie, the ball bounced off the top of the rail, off the goal?
Okay.
He ran out. He was celebrating, run out on the field. But the ball came down and with the backspin rolled across the line. It scored a goal. A a game-winning goal. Yeah, yeah. He celebrated a bit too early.
Well, yeah, that tends to happen. But you know what? We'd be remiss if we moved away that quickly from the NBA championships and what's going on.
Well, there's a lot going on in the NBA championships, and there's.
Are you speaking behind the scenes? Or also
well, no,
what's going
no,
on
that's
in the
something people don't want to talk about. But I think that there's a team. Well, the Heat, they need to grow up and play. You know, when they're walking through the tunnel, and you know they're fake coughing, you know, kind of mocking.
Yeah.
Nowitzki. You know, kind of mocking him. You know, I think you know, get your head in the game. You know, what's LeBron's points in the fourth quarter?
I think he had two. I think in total now he scored in this series 13 points total
in the fourth.
In the fourth quarter alone,
when
they need him to be the closer.
And Dirk is playing ball, man. He is balling. Did you see that three he shot last night?
Yeah, but
that
you know
thing
what?
Hit the roof, man.
Dirk Nowitzki has always been doing that, you know.
Man, this dude can play.
You know, it was interesting last night, though. I was listening to Tony Bruno. You know, I'm always doing the late gig, so driving on the way home, I was listening to him. And, you know, it touched upon, is there a racial component to this? Is it more than just, we hate the Miami Heat? Or is it that now we're willing to embrace? I don't care if he's Jermaine.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. But are we willing now as to embrace the fact that that's the white superstar there, that's the great white hope, and we're tired finally of all these brothers all
not at all
the show.
I think that's a stretch. I think someone's trying to spin something out of nothing.
Yeah.
I think
you would have to agree, though, there is a certain sect of the sports community that does embrace that, though. Would you agree with that, at least?
Maybe, but I don't think in this case. If anything, it would be like, you know, oh, he can't play basketball.
Right.
How is he playing basketball this good? He's not black. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We dominate the sport as African Americans. You know, maybe leaning that way, but you got to give, you know, props where they're due. You know,
yeah.
If he can play, he can play. You know, Larry Bird could play. You know what I mean?
My personal perspective on it is I don't see it as that, okay? I just think that Dirk Nowitzki just happens to be able to play basketball very well.
I don't really care
what color he is.
Okay. You know what? I think maybe, you know, if you're a fan of the Heat and you want the Heat to win,
sure,
and you're like, man, this guy, he's just killing us, you know? Okay, but I don't think there's any race in it.
And then when you look at – let's say this too, though. I don't think either one of these teams are a great team, neither one of them. They're very much an even team. They played five games now.
Right.
Okay. And they split the series going into the fifth game.
Right.
Okay. Now, the more talented team, without question, all would have to agree would be the Miami Heat.
Okay.
Okay. But the most complete, deepest team would also have, everyone would have to say, Dallas Mavericks. Would you agree?
Right. You're right there. But I'm going to tell you, like a guy told me, guy that writes music for, he did the Fairly Odd Parents. And
he says, well, Quincy Jones,
he said he'd rather go into a studio full of mediocre musicians than the hottest, greatest, latest musicians in the town. Because if you got a bass player and he can play anything and you ask him, hey, play this line this way, I want to play it the way I can. And he's going to add too much. But if you got a guy that's just kind of middle of the road that just plays what you say, and that's what you want. And I guess that would be in sports too, you know. Just do what I ask. I'm the coach, you know. Don't go out there, do three pirouettes on the 10-yard line,
sure,
and then jump up and catch the ball just because you can.
Right.
You know, run your route.
Right.
Run your route, you know, all business. Or you know, this is the play when we come in from this time out in basketball, you know.
Well, Roland, let me ask you, are we seeing great basketball? And we certainly are not seeing the coordination, if you will, of King James.
From the German. Germany is well represented.
Yeah. So overall, I would say this series here is.
And the one guy, Jason Terry.
U of A product.
Oh, wait a minute. There's another guy on the team that has just come alive, and where did he come from?
JJ Barrera.
No.
Is who you're saying? Or Jason
Barrera.
JJ Barrera.
The Puerto Rican.
Yeah, the Puerto Rican point guard.
Man, this kid is balling, ain't he?
Yeah, I mean, he does exactly what they ask him to do. He comes in, energy off the bench. He's a small, kind of whippet type of player.
Right.
So it's difficult to guard, and he's good at doing what they ask him to do.
Not freestyling it.
Team components.
They have team first.
And we're dealing with the non-coronation, if you will, of King James, because out of the womb, you saw all of these comparisons, if you will, of Michael Jordan, the greatest ever. Now, his package from a DNA standpoint and skill standpoint, LeBron James may eventually be the best to ever play the game. personally,
he's got time.
He has a lot of time because remember, he's been in here 7 to 8 years, and he's only 26 years old.
Right, he's got about five good years of being an elite player, and two of being just a good player.
He might have 5 to 7. Here's why: one, because again, his DNA is probably in terms of basketball player and DNA. The greatest combination we've ever seen, size, coming out the womb, okay? Mm-hmm. And from what I hear about him is he takes very good care of his body. He gets
rest.
I'm
sure he would, yeah.
He works out. He does it. He's a heavy drinker. Smart guy. So we may be able to see someone to prolong the career for a great period of time that maybe most people couldn't do it. But here's the thing he's missing. Uh-huh. The comparisons, one, are only unfair. Okay, I agree.
Okay,
I'm a Jordan.
Right.
I'm a Jordan fan.
Uh-huh.
But two, when you look at him, there's something about Jordan that LeBron doesn't have. And it started basically, one, coming out of the womb, DNA. But two, he was the anointed one from the age of what, 12, 13, 14.
Well, yeah, when Jordan was getting cut from the high school team,
and that's what I'm getting
ESPN's
at.
Considering broadcasting LeBron's high school games,
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's being, touched as being special ever since. From what I hear, he was basically found, if you want to say that, around the sixth grade, 11 years old.
Right,
okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
He was saying that this is going to be someone special and has been treated as such. He's never dealt with any really adversity. He's always been
I got to disagree with you because
don't talk about off the court now.
No, I am.
I think that's what you're. Yeah,
yeah. Because I've seen where he grew up. I've been there to the project. The high rise there and the surrounding neighborhood, and I've seen his friends, met his friends, met the people he hung out with. Some of the people, and he knows what it's all about outside off the court.
Well, he does. But I mean, it's been no necessarily impediment to him being poor. In fact, it's somewhat motivating.
Well, I think he was poor till he was 11.
Well, he started reaping benefits. But what you notice is that he went from no longer public schools to now he's going to St. Vincent, so and so. How did that happen? We know his mother did not have the income.
Driving a Hummer,
those things.
Flying to Miami for the Heat. No, it was the Orlando game. When was Magic? Not Magic, but the big guy, the Diesel.
O'Neal.
Shaq.
O'Neal.
He was down in Florida playing.
06, when they won the championship.
And he would, back before that, when LeBron was in high school.
Yeah.
LeBron would fly down to the game and then on private jet and then fly back and go to high school the next day.
Right. that's just part of being LeBron James. Whereas if you look at the comparison of Jordan, the most competitive, not only was he talented, mm-hmm. the most competitive person probably that's perhaps ever played.
I would say he had to work his way. He earned it, as we would say. Right.
And he was able to match that will, that drive and competitiveness, combining with the great athleticism that he had to grow and develop into
mm-hmm.
because it was apparent that it didn't exist immediately.
So let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying that LeBron James is DNA out of the womb. He's got
an advantage over everyone.
And Jordan had to work for it.
Sure.
He had to work for it. Well, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with
right.
you.
Right. Uh-huh. And until we see either the development, which I don't believe you necessarily can have, the killer instinct that you see in Kobe Bryant, that you see in Michael Jordan, that's innate. That's just like LeBron James.
That's just competitiveness.
Yeah. That's just like LeBron James being able to be 6'9", 275.
Trying to get some cornflakes.
Right.
Yeah, they got one box. You got six kids.
But all of these people that are great. Wilt Chamberlain was the same way.
Okay.
Great DNA.
All right.
Okay? Uh-huh. Great DNA, great athletic package. Bill Russell had to work for it. Always these people seem to have this chip on their shoulder. Dwayne Wade even has that chip, if you will, on
his
shoulder.
You can see it. You can see it. You can see
LeBron
it.
LeBron James has never had to have a chip because he's always been designated to be the man. He's already deemed the savior. We all have witnessed.
Right.
Well, what are we witnessing? Not the coronation, and I'm totally disappointed. I am.
Are you really?
I am disappointed.
I wouldn't be disappointed because, you got the Mavs. They've got coordination. They've got a team, and they're working.
And then
you take Miami. They got a videographer, the guy that came from upstairs, the media.
Spoelstra.
That's telling them, okay, you run over here and you run back court, and
But at the end of the day, as much as we casting stones and aspersions, the uh-huh. Heat are not even supposed to be here. Remember. They're not even supposed to be here. They're two, three years away.
And they're celebrating. They're getting ready to celebrate in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right.
They're potentially right now still. They're not out of it, okay? I still said, and remember from the very beginning, I said Dallas Mavericks will win. Hey, folks, we're about to take a break here. Got to go pay some bills. coming up next, Roland?
Everyone's talking about it, but no one wants to talk about it. Find out after the break when we come back on Planet Gridiron Radio.
Stay with us.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
School to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian today is Dave Lockhart.
Hey, welcome back. And Roland, I understand you have a friend of yours from Stockton, California.
No, from Bakersfield.
Oh, excuse me, from Bakersfield.
Don't get it twisted, player.
I got you. But we are fortunate enough to be blessed with a guest that's from
Bakersfield, Janine Hashem, at McGowan now, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Janine McGowan. She's the soccer coach at Stockdale High School.
Well, again, welcome, Coach McGowan, and thank you for joining us on this merry, I would say, June 10th of Friday.
Yeah,
almost Juneteenth. Janine, tell us a little bit about, now you coach girls soccer or?
Yes.
Girls soccer.
Girls soccer. Ohio.
Yeah. Is it difficult now to recruit players, or was it difficult when you first started coaching players to play on the team?
Well, really, in the high school district, basically, it's in the rules to actually recruit players. So we actually get players that live in our attendance area to come play for us. And as the school has developed, because the school is 20 years old, and I'm the original soccer coach.
Wow.
And so we get a reputation, and, you know, kids do want to come to your school. So technically we can't recruit. They normally just move into our attendance area.
So you have people coming to you. You have players coming to you wanting to play. Was it like that when you first started?
No, actually it was a brand new school, and we only had freshmen and sophomores back then. And whoever just kind of lived in the attendance area, we actually pulled from a lot of powerhouse schools back then, which was BHS and West High.
Right.
And because Stockdale High was the first brand new high school that had been built, there was like a 20-year gap between Highland High School and Stockdale High School for the current high school district. So we got to pull from a pretty good pool from BHS and from West High when we opened up our school. So we got some pretty talented girls.
Good. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the girls and any championships or where they're going and how they're developing, what's going on with the soccer team.
We've been very fortunate to have some success at Stockdale High. We have not won a sectional championship, but we've been in the sectional finals 6 years. Came up short, but we've won 14 straight league championships. This was the first year that we kind of got knocked off because they kind of built a what was called a power league with some of the higher quality teams from the area and put them all in one league. But the school overall has been very successful. Just last year, we had one of our players sign with University of Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And this year, and actually a couple of D2 schools, a girl went to San Jose State. And then a year prior to that, we had another girl go to Cal State Bixler, which is now Division One.
Okay.
And this year, I have a couple of kids. They're not going to, like, Division One, Division Two schools, but they're going to NAIA schools.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So you do have some forms of successes, it looks like. So you're developing a, looks like a program in which recruiters come to take a look at your girls and then bring them into their school at the next level.
Yes, but let me tell you something. I would love to take all the credit, but a lot of these kids, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of these kids play club soccer.
Okay.
And like the one that went to the University of Santa Barbara, she played on a club team down south in Los Angeles, and it was called Real SoCal. And a lot of players from that club do get recruited from Division I schools. A lot of these kids will play club soccer on the off season from high school, and they'll go and they'll play a lot of college showcase tournaments, and that's where they get a lot of good looks.
They get looks there. Do you mm-hmm. would you say that that's a good idea for a kid that's coming up, maybe a freshman or maybe junior high, to go play club ball, be it soccer, football, or baseball, or even volleyball?
Yeah, if they really do want to make it to the next level, because now there's a trend for kids to play club sports.
Yeah.
And besides high school football, everywhere else, they're being recruited through club teams. So their club coaches will take them to a lot of showcase tournaments, and they'll get seen that way. The role that I take right now as a high school coach, which I've actually helped not only soccer players, I've helped like baseball, football players as well, guys, girls, it doesn't matter, is to I help them with the clearinghouse. I make sure, like, the athletes in my school
mm-hmm.
make sure they're taking the right classes so they can be D1 certified.
Gotcha.
Right, in their core.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In their core courses, uh-huh.
Right, right.
Wait, Coach, let me ask you this. You have all over the country children that are just playing soccer. Again, my kids play soccer. I have three of them, and all three have played. And, again, the proliferation of the game, it's all over the place. Why is it, do you believe, that a foothold or stronghold has not taken a place in the United States, whereas it really is the world's game?
Well, you got to remember, we're the United States. It's still, even though we've been in it quite a while, we're still young to the sport. I mean, if you think about when the world started playing soccer, it was a long time ago. And so just being new to the sport and just development, I think the United States is doing a really good job now with our Olympic development teams to bring the players up to the quality of level of the world. I mean, look at our girls' team.
Yeah.
I mean, we won how many World Cups?
Right. Our women seem to do well. And again, building upon that, why is it that we see this great gap, if you will, between the women's game on the international level, whereas when we play as American men, we don't seem to do as well? What is your opinion as to that?
Just my opinion on that is that everybody in other countries play a lot of soccer.
Okay.
But over here in the United States, look what else we have. We've got baseball, we've got basketball, and look what we've done in the Olympics with men's basketball, baseball. I mean, you know, we've been pretty successful on the men's side other than soccer. Would you agree?
Definitely. I mean, definitely so.
Yeah, we can compete. So I think here we're offered such a more wide variety of stuff and the quality that we get here. I mean, look at basketball was invented in America. What about baseball? You know, so I think, you know, you look at all those things and we just need to catch up. But
okay.
Like I said, we're slowly getting there. You know, young men are playing at an earlier age. We're over in these other foreign countries. Like, you know, I talked to a foreign exchange student, a kid, actually a guy. And I said, so when did you start playing soccer? Oh, Miss McGowan, I had a soccer ball in my feet at the age of one.
Wow.
In the womb, he was playing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's the difference.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's just taken us a while, you know, to slowly get the interest here in the States and get it going. I mean, I think we're slowly getting there, but I think it just takes a lot of work with, you know, like I said, we've got other dominant sports that's taking awesome athletes away from, you know, soccer.
You know, I was going to kind of, I guess, embrace exactly what you just said. It appears that when you watch the international game, the World Cup, and you look at the Germans and the Italians or the Spaniards or whatever, it looks like our team, they're waifish. They're a lot smaller. It looks like you just have a better athlete that's playing on these international teams.
All of our bigger players go to football or baseball. They're not going
exactly
out there.
And yeah, that's what I was getting ready to ask you. That, do you believe that obviously has some impact as well?
Yeah, I do believe. Come on, let's take Shaq, for example. Could you see him on the soccer field?
Right.
Yeah, I can see him on the soccer field, but not playing.
And I got to tell you, really, he's a phenomenal athlete.
He is. Good feet. I agree.
Yeah, and so it just depends on the makeup of the kid, you know, and what fits them the best. I mean, because you could get little tiny girls that can play soccer, but let me tell you something. If they're really, really quick, you can put them on the football field, because if they're that fast, you know, softball coaches are girls with a lot of speed.
Right.
Like, for example, I have a player right now who 3 years with me. She was so fast. She was getting recruited at D1 level. But she decided, because she had a lot of stress fractures in her leg, she went into softball, and then she's going to go try out for a Division I school because she's so fast. So, you know, it just, you know, it's a lot about a natural building. I think it depends on the makeup of the body. You know, it's a lot of things.
Sure,
it's
sure. So, taking your program to the next level, what do you think needs to be done in the California area for you to go and compete for, let's say, a state championship, or I'm not familiar with, you know, maybe CIF championships, things of that nature?
Well, we're slowly doing that right now. What happens is we're in Bakersfield, and our competition's kind of limited here.
Okay.
So what we decided to do as a program is we decided to go down south and play into some tournaments down south. So we play in what's called the Excalibur Tournament down in Orange County, and that brings sectional champions from the San Diego area, Orange County area, all of L.A. Matter of fact, we played a team from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, and so that's where we're trying to go. In order for us to get to that next level and try to win that championship, I felt that we needed to go play a stricter schedule. So we decided to take, so we're playing in two tournaments down in L.A.
Okay.
Help us develop a little bit more.
Well, Janine, you're with Stockdale High School?
Yes, and that's correct.
Does East Bakersfield High School have a team?
Yes, East Bakersfield does have a team.
And are they competitive as you guys are?
Yes and no. I mean,
just the boys team? Does the boys team win everything? Well, the reason I say that, because it's predominantly Hispanic, you know.
And that's what I was going to bring up to you. You hit it right on the head. Like teams like Arvin High School,
yeah,
where that's a Hispanic area, they went to their sectional championship last year. See, the boys, you know, Hispanic group, they do really, really well. Golden Valley, matter of fact, a friend of mine, Troy Lynch, his team, mainly almost all Hispanic, they went to the sectional championship this year and lost PKs. So it's like you said, Roland, it's kind of like, it just kind of depends. The female side, Hispanic side, they're not as talented as your male counterpart because they're always outside playing.
Right.
Well, look, Janine, we're about to wrap it up and go into a break, but we would like to, again, thank you and appreciate you coming in and blessing us with your comments regarding the program and soccer in general.
Yeah.
We're wishing you much success, and don't be a stranger to the program.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on such short notice, and be careful on the highway.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that was enlightening, huh?
Yeah, pretty interesting.
I would have thought, you know, soccer, girls soccer, you know, I'd have never thought scholarship or anything like that.
Well, I happen to have daughters, so I'm somewhat, I guess, in the know with that. And that's one of the better sports to attempt to get a scholarship due to the Title IX, because they need to match bodies with bodies from the men's sports, primarily football. And again, rowing.
So you're aware of that. I'm very much aware.
Right. My daughter obviously plays, you know, recreation. We haven't moved to the level of club yet. Candidly, it's because she runs club track. And so another avenue for which, you know, I'm not paying for college, okay?
You know what? I said I'm not, but I am. I'm paying now.
Okay,
I'm
exactly. Now. My I'm investment now. Is now. This is a scholarship. Looks like we got to go to another break. On the other side, we'll be joined by Jay Graves of DJGravesReport.com.
All right. Back in a moment.
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian today is David Lockhart.
Hey, 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 and we're back again for that third round.
Hey, Dave, before we went to the first break, we kind of teased at this. Everybody's talking about it, but don't nobody want to say nothing. What's up with LeBron? He seems to be off his game. Jay, what's going on with LeBron?
Yep, joining us as usual. We got Jay Graves from DJGravesReport.com.
What's going on, fellas?
Holla at your boys.
what's wrong with him?
LeBron's got me looking bad out here, fellas. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago that was called LeBron is Better Than Jordan.
Blasphemous!
Now, hear me out. This is what I was saying. What my point in the article was that at the same age, at 26 years old, LeBron James has accomplished more than Michael Jordan had at 26. Because you remember, Jordan hadn't won any titles till he was 28.
Okay. Right. His eighth year.
Okay.
He
won it in the seventh year. You got to remember that Jordan won it in seven, but he went to college and he spent 3 years in college.
Right, agreed.
So the premise of the article was, hey, at 26 years old, this guy has more of a diverse game than Jordan did at 26. Because you remember when Jordan first came into the league, he couldn't shoot and he couldn't go to his left.
Right.
It took him a few years to develop. So I'm giving LeBron all the props. I put both of their accomplishments at 26 years old next to each other. LeBron had more accomplishments, et cetera. Now LeBron goes out there and falls asleep and pulls an ostrich move on me and puts his head in the sand. I'm like, man, you can't
But
you
Jay,
make me look bad.
Jay, do you think he's got something going on in his personal life? That's what people are talking about. You know, he's preoccupied.
Well, you know what? I tell you this, and I'm quite sure Dave will agree with me. When you are playing at the level that they're playing at, you are a professional.
Yep.
And I'm quite sure that there were things going on in Jordan's life, in Magic Johnson's life, in Kareem's life. Everybody's got something going on. But when you get to the finals,
you got to get it done.
Stephen A. Smith said something. I need to find out what Stephen A. said.
No, you're absolutely right. It seems like it's inexcusable because we all have varying degrees of issues and personal things that go on outside of our lives in terms of work.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, and now let's look at what these guys are really doing at the end of the day, okay? They're playing basketball, player. They're not opening up nobody's heart. You know, they're
keeping somebody out of jail.
Right. They're not keeping people out of jail. They're not, selling something that could preserve someone's life, like, for instance, insulin. Talk to me, Jay.
They're not doing anything of significance
other than just
entertaining us.
That's all they're doing.
And granted, I heard someone this morning try to make the excuse. Well, it may have been Colin Cowherd was trying to say, well, this guy's been hated at every arena he's going through this year. He's probably at a point where he is He's drained emotionally, et cetera. I'm like, that doesn't mean a thing. When you're getting paid $80-something million and you're getting $90-something million from Nike, your job is to play the game at the highest level.
Every time you step out there. Every time.
And let's keep it real. He had a triple-double last night, but a triple-double looks good on paper in February.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, when you got a triple-double in the finals and you score 2 points in the fourth quarter, that triple-double means absolutely nothing.
Right. That was the least impactful, meaningless triple-double that I've ever seen. Okay, because the accomplishment in and of itself is a great one because it's so difficult to do.
Right.
But when you think about this, you know, in terms of what he actually achieved, I'm not that impressed. But will we be? But will we be having this conversation had they won?
Well, you know what? I think that we would be, in the sense that if they had won, we'd be talking about how great Dwayne Wade came back in and played.
Exactly.
I gotta agree with you.
But he did play good when he come back.
You're not clowning either. You are not clowning. I gotta give you that. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Dwayne Wade went out in the first quarter and was in and out of the game for most of the game and still scored 23 points.
Correct. With an injured hip.
Yeah, and the thing that you got to have to remember, I was saying this sitting on the couch. LeBron is 6'8", 260. At some point, you've got to take control of the ball game, especially when you got mismatches. There were several times when Jason Kidd was on him, man up. Jason Kidd is 38 years old.
Right.
You got to take this man and abuse him. I mean, Dwayne Wade has been abusing him the entire tournament. Nobody's been talking about
that. Well, LeBron's been taking it to Cardinal. LeBron's been taking it to Cardinal big time.
I mean, they called me and asked me, could I give some run against Brian Cardinal, though?
Right. I mean,
and I'm 5'7".
Brian Cardinal? I didn't even realize that Brian Cardinal was still in the league.
Right. We talked about him last week. Everybody was trying to figure out. He played at Purdue. I mean, I know you remember him. I did. You know, he was a decent ball player, but he's not on the caliber of a LeBron James. Hell, he's not even a caliber of a Mike Miller. Let's be honest.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But I am just totally disappointed because it was supposed to be this coronation. But I'm going to argue out of both sides of my mouth. And that, Jay, don't you agree that, hey, the Heat weren't supposed to be there anyway?
We said that a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. We said, I think the Heat is a year away.
Right.
They've overachieved in the sense that they were able to put together the chemistry as quick as they did and move forward in the playoffs.
So do you think they were playing above their heads?
You know what? I think that they – no, I don't think they're playing above their heads because, quite honestly, they should have closed this
should be over.
This should be out. This should be over.
Yeah.
I mean, because you remember last Thursday, they fell asleep at the wheel.
Right. They did.
They completely fell asleep. I mean, they should have gone to they should have been 3-0
right,
with no problem.
Right. I mean, as much as we, you know, take pot shots, you know, at the Heat, let's be honest. This thing, it should have been 3-0.
Okay.
Okay, it should have been
3-0.
It should have been. Okay, but it's not. But the fact of it is not. They've opened up the door, and now, Jay, I'll tell you this much. I said from the very beginning, I felt that the team that would win this would be the Mavericks. Because I felt that they were a better team. More talent is definitely Miami, but the team.
Team.
I think the better team is by far Dallas. Well, not by far, but just the better team.
What they say,
team.
There's no I in team.
No, but there is a Nowitzki. Yeah. There is a Nowitzki.
No, there is a me. There is a me.
Look, there's several in Nowitzki and Dirk Nowitzki. You know, but you know, he has been. Let's not take anything away from him. He has been playing lights out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dirk has done everything that they've asked him to do and more.
He's playing the game.
We couldn't agree more with you regarding that issue. He has definitely risen to the occasion. And definitely has performed at an extremely high level.
Mm-hmm.
But
that is true.
You know, we have to move on because we have to talk about it. Ohio State. And now, the ending. And I said this too on the air. Pull it, folks. I told Damian, this would be the last game that you would see Terrell Pryor play was the Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
I believe he would not play again.
Yeah, you said that.
Your thoughts on this, Jay? Where you at with this?
But you know what? I don't know if you guys seen it. I wrote an article this week called Violation of Hood Protocol.
No, enlighten me, because I have not seen that one.
Yeah, what I wrote was I was disappointed in Terrell Pryor's homeboy.
Oh, ratted him out
in the news this week and just snitched him out, told the whole story, gave it all. Now, this is why I'm disappointed, because the NCAA and the Ohio State Compliance Department were already on top of this thing. They had already opened Pandora's box. You didn't need to open your mouth and give it all away. They were going to find everything they were looking for.
No, and then some.
And then some. So I don't know. Where I grew up, you were taught before you went to kindergarten, your mother used to say, boy, nobody wants to be around a tattletale.
That's right. And I tell my...
If it doesn't have anything to do with you...
Exactly.
Shut your mouth. You do not know how many times I got a little tattletale at home. Mia. My little Mia. I love her to death. Mind your business.
Exactly.
Right? Always, you're always diffing and daffing and don't know what's happening. I hit her with that all the time, Jay.
And what's so sad about the situation, obviously, you know, we know that we talked about all the adults that were involved that pretty much were the ruin of this kid.
Right.
Because he didn't create the entitlement. The adults around him created it. However, this kid that told it all, he's actually ruined his social life and his life at Ohio State. He's probably going to have to transfer as well.
Right.
Because everybody grows up with the same, you know, especially if they grew up anywhere around, you know, the hood or anywhere around folks that have that same mentality. You know, you don't just jump out there and tell it.
So he just told everything that was going on.
He put your boy on blast. He put it on blast.
What he said was, for those listening that didn't hear what he said, he said that at least two or three times a week that this guy would bring helmets and jerseys to Terrell Pryor's apartment, and he would sign them for more than $1,000 a piece. They said this guy was making $40,000 a year,
cash money.
So that's like making $80,000, and you're a college student with no bills.
Right.
So what do you think motivated this kid to do this? Jealousy or?
Yeah, you're right. You have to look to the motivations of it, and it appears that he didn't like the idea that essentially Pryor's head got too big. That's what I read into this.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, now, Jay, with that?
Yeah, now, my thoughts would be, in order for a guy to throw you under the bus that bad, Terrell probably took his girlfriend.
He probably didn't keep her. He probably gave her back. So what are the options for Pryor now?
Well, you know,
supplemental draft? Or?
Right. He's got the chance at the supplemental. Now, I tend to believe, like a number of other people, I don't see him ready-made to play quarterback, and I don't think he's going to be successful at the quarterback position. That's just my opinion of him. I think he's a great athlete. But
rolls the dice on this kid?
Right.
What
because
are you getting?
He's shown some character issues, but to be honest, a lot of these kids show character issues. So did Cam Newton, and Cam Newton was the first pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And to a large degree, I equate Pryor to a poor man's Cam Newton. Because you're talking about almost the same athletic package, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, literally, that genetically, they're the same person.
Exactly. Agreed. It is.
Now,
they are.
Now, between the ears, it's going to be the difference.
Right. I agree with that, too.
And like we said before, Terrell Pryor's biggest mistake was going to Ohio State in the first place.
Absolutely.
Because in my opinion, if he'd have gone to Michigan and played in the system that would actually have allowed him to flourish.
Yeah.
He still wouldn't have been ready to play quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
However, he would have been able to get drafted as a quarterback in the NFL.
Agreed.
And that's pretty much, I mean, you don't have to be ready to play in the NFL. You just have to be ready to get paid in the NFL.
Right.
Ask Jamarcus Russell.
Well, not right.
Tim Tebow. You know, right. Those guys, Tim Tebow played in a spread offense. He's not ready to play quarterback, true, per se, but the fact that he put up big numbers in college allowed him to command a first-round draft pick, and now he's got a certain amount of guaranteed money. Whether he makes it or not is irrelevant.
Agreed. He would have just.
But so many of these guys are falling off.
Hey, guys, I hate to cut us right quick. We got to go to a break. We got about 20 seconds, but we're going to pick it up when we get back. Stay with us there, Jay.
All right.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works. I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson. Sitting in for Damian today is Dave Lockhart.
Hey, and welcome back. Having so much fun here with my boy, Roland Hill. Sorry D.A. could not be with us today. And as usual, who do we have on that line for us? That's Jay Graves from JGravesReport.com.
Before we went to break, we were talking about these quarterbacks that are getting drafted, and they're going in. And my question was, there's a lot of them going in, getting paid big money, and not delivering. Matt Leinart, Tebow. Why? Right. What's the deal?
Well, Jay was touching upon it, and it's very true. I think we all can agree, and especially those who've watched the game or at least played the game, none of these guys are ready to step in and play at the NFL level.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have seen some successes with Sam Bradford, and you've seen it with Matt Ryan, but that's more of, one, they're going to a team that has a run-dominated system. Okay. And they're asked to complement, not lead, a team. Mm-hmm. Because you generally will not have a rookie do that. We can go back, to Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year. People need to realize he went 14-1, I think it was, Jay. But even his own admission, he said, what they told me to do was hand the ball off to the bus and get out the way.
Exactly.
We're going to play good special. And you protect a young quarterback and develop them by what? Putting a nice running game around them with a good offensive line. You dummy down or limit the offensive package, making them make only a couple of reads.
Well, Denny Green tried that with Matt Leinart. He said he didn't want him throwing anything.
And look how Matt Leinart performed the first year, though. He did fine. We all thought that this was a good draft pick, Jay.
Right.
Yeah.
We thought it was a good draft. We thought it was.
Because what people have to realize, and I don't think there are very few people to understand the change or the speed of the game, even going from high school to college, and then going from college to the pros. I mean, when that thing turns up so fast that everything is, for probably 6 or 7 weeks, it's a blur.
I've heard guys say for about 4 or 5 years it's a blur.
Yeah, it slows down. Yeah. If you play a lot, though, okay, he's right.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning said it began to slow down about 8, 9, 10 games to the season.
Uh-huh.
But that's because you're in that fire. Doing
it every day.
Every day. And right, the speed of the game. Every time I hear a rookie speak about the NFL, the transition, what's the first thing they say, Jay? The speed of the game.
Speed of the game. Speed of the game. And I tell you this, when I was in, when I came, went from high school to college, the first 6 weeks, I felt like I had never even played the game.
You do feel like that.
Am I on a soccer field or what?
Like, man, what is going on? I mean, I remember the first time I took a sweep around the corner. The linebacker was on me so fast that I thought I was standing still.
He's like, where'd you come from?
Right. No, it is. The quality, right, when I was in high school, I was just way faster than everybody. Uh-huh. Okay, mm-hmm. And even when I moved into college, I was faster, but I noticed the difference. I did. Yeah. The athlete was a much better athlete. Uh-huh. And what you mm-hmm. fail to realize is that those people, they were the man, too.
Exactly.
Right. Uh-huh. You know, I'll never, I was the man in high school.
I remember this coach. Go ahead, Jay. Excuse me.
Go ahead. Now, what I was going to say, and the same thing about that was everybody's the man, even more the man, in college.
Right.
So all these guys now that you're lining up against, all these guys were all everything in college.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ain't no slacker. Yeah. You know, right. Even a person that you and I look at on TV on Sunday be like, man, how did this guy make it to the NFL? He's sorry. Really?
Right.
Really? Go right. mess with him and see what happens. Okay. Athletic wise. Yes. Okay? Right. So these people are the real deal. Real
That's
deal.
Right.
So the game is just so different. And getting back to what we were talking about with Terrell Pryor, I think he's in for a rude awakening. If he thinks that he's going to be extremely successful, because I even remember him when he was coming out of high school. He's number one rated recruit in the country.
Right, right.
He played in Gannett, Pennsylvania. Have you ever seen the high school film of him?
No, I haven't.
He was already like 6'4", 210 pounds. Everybody playing against weighed 150.
Right, right.
The biggest kid he played against 180. He played in some small division of football, okay? And that doesn't mean he's not a great athlete, because 4'3 is 4'3, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what this young man was running. But the transition he's going to see at the next level in the NFL, leaps and bounds.
So what can he do? Receiver?
And I'll tell you this. Everyone, like we were talking about a few weeks ago, everyone that had him projected to go to the league was third or fourth round, and
anyway.
Then going and playing a tight end.
Right.
You know, doing the same thing as, what was the guy's name that played at Arkansas, played quarterback at Arkansas, now wide receiver in the NFL.
Matt Jones. You're talking about Matt Jones.
Matt Jones. Yeah. Doing type of one of the same, some of the same stuff. But, you know, in my opinion, if it were my child, what I would have told him to do in this situation, don't allow, because nobody should get it twisted. He was forced out of Ohio State.
Oh, absolutely he was.
You know, he was forced out of there. But I would have, as a father, said, son, we've already made the mistake. Let's stay in school, get this degree. Because the last thing you want to do is leave Ohio State, you don't have an NFL contract, and you don't have a degree.
Right.
You just got pimped.
Yeah. Definitely so. And so,
even if they ruled him ineligible for next year, he still could have stayed in school and finished that last year if he was on track to graduate.
Man, if he paid more,
he can't take no classes.
Well, no, he left school. He left school altogether.
Yeah, he completely left school.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Okay.
And if he spent more time in the classroom as opposed to trying to figure out what the next car he was driving.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to get no degree.
Then perhaps. Right. I don't believe he honestly was there to be a student. And it kind of goes back.
And I can respect that.
I can too.
Not trying to get a degree if he's going to the league, because there were guys that I played with in college that would say straight up, I'm not going. I didn't come to college to get a degree.
Right.
They would be in the locker room saying that, and some of those guys went to the league.
Hey, and let's be honest, it ain't for everybody. That college thing is not for everybody, and I would tend to say, with most of the guys that I went to school with, in fact, my wife did a paper on that. Essentially athletes, and mm-hmm. you know, because I had access to the football team, and they had a questionnaire, and one of the questions was, if you had the opportunity to just simply play football or play football and obtain a degree, what would you do? More than 60%, Jay, said that they would rather just play football.
Of course, it's easy.
Right.
Right.
But it's so short-sighted, and that's exactly why you see the horror stories that we see when you see players leaving or transitioning, regardless of whether it's football, basketball, and let's not get it twisted, baseball too. You know, white America, embrace the fact now, you too, your players and the ones you think are so intelligent, let's be honest here.
Baseball players, one, don't
ever go to class, and two,
and they don't get a degree.
Most of them, I'm not going to say most of them, a large amount of them come right out of high school. How educated are you going
exactly.
to be?
That's right.
How worldly
you know,
are you going to be?
There's the, what do they say? There's like 800 and let's say 870 people in baseball in the pro teams, you know,
right.
including managers. Out of all of those, 36 of them have a degree.
Right. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Football is higher.
You know
there are more people with degrees in football.
I will say this. I'm more disappointed in our fathers more than anything. Because when you talk about Marcus Dupree, Maurice Claret, the Terrell Pryor of the world, there's every time we talk about those kids, there's no father mentioned.
Right.
And, you know, anytime you have to recruit a kid and you start talking about we've been speaking with his mentor, that means there's no father around.
Right.
Okay.
Because your mentor is your father. I mean, when you were being recruited,
right.
Dave, your
yep.
dad was the one talking to the coaches, and not some other guy in the community.
My dad made the decision where I was going because at that point I was 17. I was too immature to make the decision,
mm-hmm.
and he told me why. He was making the decision with the selection of the University of Arizona.
And that's why I give props to Cam Newton's dad. He did it.
Yeah.
He did it. I mean,
he didn't always do it the right way, but I'll tell you this much.
He
might not have always done the right way, and none of us always do. Okay?
Exactly.
Right.
So it's varying degrees, if you will, of sin.
You know, there are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys taking their kid. A lot of guys taking their kids to this camp and that camp and getting this extra coach and giving them extra training, trying to get their kid to the league.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a
right.
scholarship, but to the league. This man took his kid
right.
first round. You know what I'm saying?
And he did that with
yeah.
Two other sons, too, okay,
oh, did he?
That have played collegiately.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Jay, I'll be honest. I'm doing that with my children, and they're young.
That's right.
Yeah.
My 5-year-old goes to a football camp already, learning how to go over dummies and cutting. And granted, he's asked me to do this for him. And with
right,
him.
Right.
So he likes the game, and I'm all for success and giving him every opportunity. And that's the same
now, you say your kid asks you, and that's great that he shows that interest. But I'm kind of the school, you don't have to ask me. You're going to do this. There's no, like piano. Piano's not an option
yeah.
in the house because you don't know at that age. You don't know what 35-year-old is like, you know. So you got to do this, you know.
Okay, I'm going to join in with that and saying you're right. There are certain things in my house, and I'm sure it exists in your house, Jay, that my children
yeah.
have to and shall do, okay?
That's right.
And they will
right.
be involved in some form of team sport. I think it's
right.
good for the overall growth and development.
Team sport, right. You got that right.
I really enjoy that, watching them and the development from
mm-hmm.
those things.
Right.
If you guys get an opportunity, there's an article on the blog called Why All Children Should Play Sports.
Okay.
Team sports.
And it has nothing to do with playing sports. It has everything to do with life.
Hey, I hate to shut us down. Jay, give us a shout out to your blog and your site so people can take a look at that article before we shut this down.
But yeah, this is thejgraysreport.com. Holler at your boy.
Okay.
All right, man.
Before we go, I'd like to say hello to my niece that's visiting here from California, Mariah Huggins. How you doing? And we'll see you in a few minutes when I get home.
All right, now, love to everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Come shout and holler at your boys. This is Planet Gridiron, sports.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.